Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Mexicali and Imperial Valley. With your host, Scott Dudley, and yours truly, Maria Wyatt, we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Hi, welcome and good morning.
You know what? It's been a while. It feels like I haven't been here in a while. And last week we were off the air, unfortunately, due to the rain. We don't have that much rain here, and that really got us out of
whack.
We're
broadcasting live from Wrigley Field, and we get rained out occasionally when the bleachers start to flood or whatever. I'm not sure.
I have no idea what you're saying, Scott, but okay.
Well, just the idea that a radio show could get rained out is kind of odd.
It did. And Maria has all the technical information on that, why that happened. All I knew is that our show was canceled.
It has something to do with the snooze button. We can't quite figure that one out. Anyhow, we're here today, though. And we have, you know, and it's been a fun month because we've done kind of this panoramic history of Imperial County Human Services. You know who we're missing? We need Mike Kelly here, too. Like, he's like the missing link of the trifecta. But we had Mike Horn on, and Mike came aboard, and he talked about, from his perspectives.
My boss?
And that included Director of Behavioral Health now, but it included a fond chapter in his book about social services and his time there. And we had Warren Sherlock on, who's also 20-odd years with lots of recollections and lots of systems insights from Warren. And we stayed the best. No. Sorry, Mike. No, the harmonica was great, but now it's the end of the month, and we are pleased to bring aboard Jim Sims today. And Jim is the... Now, what's your official title? Because you were director. Are you still director?
He's still the director.
I'm still the director.
Okay. Of Department of Social Services for Imperial County.
Correct.
And in transition, but still in charge. Good. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. 337-8874 is the phone number. If you've got questions or recollections you'd like to share, I'm sure we've got some interesting Jim stories out there.
Yeah. So how long, first of all, how long have you been at Department of Social Services?
I started at that time. It was called Imperial County Welfare Department.
Oh, the welfare. Yes. I haven't heard that in a long time.
February 1st, 1971. I was 6 days out of college. I was planning to get married and needed a job. And so I started looking around, and my wife-to-be said, have you ever thought of being an eligibility worker? I said, you can be an eligibility worker at the welfare department if you have 2 years of college, and you can be a social worker if you have 4 years of college.
Little did she know, huh?
And I said... well, I don't know what they do. I said, well, you might want to apply. So I applied to be a social worker and passed the written and then got interviewed. And I graduated mid-year in January of 71 and got hired February 1st. So I was very lucky to get a job that quickly and got married 3 months later.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've been there a long time.
So it's been a long time. It's been a span of 39 years.
Coming up next week.
Longer than most people in the county have been alive. If you want to do median age thing.
Thank you for making me feel like my first alive.
You didn't have any gray hair yet. Come on.
I was around.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm feeling bad too. But an amazing time to spend at anyone. Mm. I mean, we talk about serial relationships nowadays.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's, we don't even, you know, careers have always been thought of as this kind of serial progression,
right,
of places and bosses and different things. And we're even training kids nowadays to expect that.
Right.
And you've been almost 40 years in the same department with you know, all of its permutations.
And how, I mean, just the amount of knowledge and experience that you have in just spanning that time, how it started when... how it was, the department, when you started and now where it's at. You know, from how many people actually work in 1971 to how many people that are actually working there now?
Well, you know, when I started, some of the programs we no longer have are now at Social Security. We used to have what they called the Old Age Security Program mm-hmm. and the Aid to Totally Disabled. And in 1974, all those elderly programs were transferred to Social Security. So our department had a whole division of adult services workers working those kinds of cases. So we had about 100 staff and not a lot of social workers, maybe about 20. But right before I started, social workers used to also do eligibility work. They were kind of like dual workers. So when I went through training, I went through eligibility mm-hmm. training and social work training, even though I was just going to be initially a social worker, and would go out into the community and see if families needed any kind of assistance from our department or other resources. And that was kind of to break into the mm-hmm. social service field. I didn't know really what I was doing as a social worker. You know, you went through training, but actually going out the first time into the community and knocking on someone's door and being there to try to give them guidance about household management, mm-hmm. financial issues, and so forth. And you yourself are so green out of college, you just do the best you can. And I did that for a while, and pretty soon they said, you know what, you'd be a good CPS worker.
CPS?
That's Child Protective yeah. Services. And I said, whoa, that's heavy-duty stuff. We always thought of the Child Protective Services unit as almost like the Cadillac unit of the mm-hmm. department, really specialized. These people had a lot of training and a lot of dealings with really very tough family situations. And I said, I'll give it a go. And in December of 72, that was only a year and a half after I started, I was a CPS worker. And we did not have a lot of CPS workers. At one point, another individual in our department, Carla Moore, and I were the only CPS workers in the county.
Oh, wow.
I had the north end, she had the south end. We've come a long, long way since then. But things have changed, too. We really didn't have a lot of the court responsibility. Mm-hmm. That was handled by the probation department. And we didn't have a receiving home for minor children. They were placed in juvenile hall in Imperial.
Wow.
That was before they even had the setup down there on Applesville Road with the juvenile hall mm-hmm. and probation department. So these minor children who were picked up because they were either being neglected or abused were actually placed in juvenile hall, almost like a punishment kind of situation, just because there were no other resources available. So
wow.
I went through that.
Was that occurring to anybody at the time?
Well, I think what prompted the whole push eventually to actually develop the Betty Jo McNeese Receiving Home was to have a facility that was child-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But before they ever got that, they went through a lot of different locations. An interesting kind of remembrance I have about the receiving home is in 1979, those of you that were around back then, we had a really big earthquake.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I was in the six-story building that is no longer there at 940 Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the third floor when October 15th, 1979, at about 4:17 in the afternoon, we got a 6.5 to 6.7 earthquake that actually destroyed that building. It was built on stilts, and the stilts crumbled. So eventually they had to tear that building down. But at that time, when that happened, the building could no longer be occupied. So every agency in that building had to find a new location. And we were fairly big organizations, so we had to look for places to go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the places we went right away was going to be the site they had designated as the new receiving home, which was the old county hospital. They had just
oh, wow.
refurbished it. And so we moved in there for a couple of months while we were looking for a semi-permanent place to go. So we had about six or seven moves after the earthquake. So at that time in my career, I was in a special project section. As a matter of fact, at that time, I had been in the unit where Mike Horn had worked and Sam Couchman, both now directors of organizations. They were under my supervision. And so we had a lot of good experiences. We go back a long way. But that was a really challenging time for us. And at that time, our fiscal officer quit. And so Joe Picasso, who's now at the CEO's office. And so our director at the time, Sue Leidick, said, you know, I need a budget person. I want you to do the budget. So all of a sudden, from going to be a social worker and
the
a CPS
worker
and then supervising some staff in an administrative services unit, they want me to do my first budget.
At which of those jobs did you come home and tell your wife, and she just rolled her eyes and said, they want you to do that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just picked up the old budget, started looking at it, and then I found out that, you know, we were just right at post Prop 13. Prop 13 had just been implemented in California, and we had a tremendous budget crisis, and all the departments were looking at very drastic cuts. At the time, fortunately, I guess we were not a huge department, but we had to submit a budget with 10, 15, and 20% across the board cuts in our budget. And so that was my first challenge as fiscal officer for the county in 1979, 1980, 1981. And then at the same time, of course, we're still looking for a permanent home. Eventually they built the county administration center. But the deal with the county administration center was we only got the same square footage that we had before the earthquake. We moved in there, we were already out of space. Mm-hmm. So we started looking at other places to locate our staff. So we were split up.
Nice.
And pretty much, kind of like behavioral health, a lot of different offices in a lot of different locations. So it was it's challenging to keep an agency kind of together and focused on a mission when you're kind of spread apart like that.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. Don't forget to dial the 760 in the beginning. So.
Yeah. We're here today with our host, our guest, Jim Sims. He's director of Department of Social Services for the County of Imperial and has been hanging out there since February 1st, 1970. It's funny. Now I know your start date, and I can't remember mine.
I know.
I kind of misplaced. You know, I have a question for you, Jim. This is a love story. Either that or you were incredibly insecure about changing jobs, and I don't think that's the case. At some point, you fell in love with this community. Was there a point, was this one of those gradual things where you didn't realize how much you cared about this place until one day, or was it the first home visit, or was it the first time some family took advice from this college kid who didn't really know what he was talking about? You know, when did it click for you that this was who you were and you were going to lay down a big chunk of your life for this community?
That's, you know, Scott, that's a really excellent question, and I guess it goes back to my CPS days. Child Protective Services is a very challenging job.
We're still
doing it today, and it takes a certain kind of individual to really devote their energies and time and commitment to that job, because there are so many challenges, especially in our community where there are a lot of issues with respect to domestic violence and substance abuse unemployment and all the rest of it. It's just one thing after another. But when I was working with the families I had in CPS, and I could see families trying to dig themselves out of the hole they were in and really get their families together and actually be successful, and actually see some of my CPS kids grow up and come work for our department, that's rewarding.
Wow.
That's really something. We still have, and I won't say who they are, but we still have some of my cases that I had when I was a social worker working for us.
Wow.
So that's kind of getting your feet in the community and knowing what the issues are. And then once I got into management and started to realize that maybe you could actually make a difference with what's going on in the community by directing and developing things that needed to be developed here, unmet needs and so forth, that kept me really inspired. People say, how can you do the same job for 39 years? The job's different every day.
It's different.
Every day. When I became director in 1985, we had 119 staff. Today we have 438.
Wow.
I had two program managers for the entire department, and that was it. And now we have the CalWORKs Welfare to Work Division, we have Child Welfare, we have Adult Protective Services, In-Home Supportive Services, and Medi-Cal, food stamps, the list goes on and on. We touch one in three persons in Imperial County. One in three persons. We're almost 175,000 people in Imperial County. Our department has a tremendous impact on the people of this community. So what we do matters. And if we do it right, it makes it better. Mm-hmm. And so if we can make our programs more effective, more family friendly, more accessible, one of the things I saw right away is we were just one office with a big responsibility, but we're a big community in terms of our geographic area.
Oh, yeah.
And
we're spread out.
We have the Winter Haven community 50 miles away
that
had no services from our department. Now we have a family resource center there. We're there every day. We're in Calexico. Mm-hmm. We're in Brawley. We're in Sealy. You know, we're in Nyland.
Mm-hmm.
We are around the community. And I think that's one of the better ways to deliver service. For one thing, when you're working in a community, you start to know that community.
Mm-hmm.
You start to know the people and you start to know the needs. So I think you can provide better service when you're actually out there. So as one of my strong beliefs is if you can be out there in the community providing service, it's going to be better than if you're just kind of a centralized bureaucratic office that's just a maze. And granted, you know, we are a big office here in El Centro, but we do reach out to the community as best we can. And I think we have 9 family resource centers in the county.
And thanks to you, we're also at the schools.
Yes.
Too. So,
yes.
You know, we work very closely with Behavioral Health, works very closely with the Department of Social Services.
Yeah.
And your staff has helped us, my program, you
Good.
Know, survive.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I've learned, I think, in all my years here is that you can't do it alone. If you don't have really strong partnerships with the organizations in the community that provide service, you're just not going to be able to really succeed. One, if you're duplicating service, that's frustration for the client. They're having to go through lots of different hoops for lots of different organizations to get help. If it's coordinated, it's better. And that's why I've always believed in if we could, contracting with organizations to provide the gaps in service that we don't provide. Two of our longest standing partners have been IDC and the Employment Department, and they're key in this community. Obviously, education and job development are key components of whatever we're going to be able to do to succeed in getting people employed and trained and so forth. So we still have IDC with us after 20, whatever it is, since 1988 is when we first contracted with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a strong relationship with the Imperial Valley Regional Occupational Program, Office of Education, Health Department. All of these organizations provide services that are focused in a particular area.
Mm-hmm.
If those services can be coordinated, you do a better job. And that's how we have kind of survived throughout all this. Last year was a tough budget year, and we had to terminate all our contracts, all of them, because of the threat of elimination of programs. It didn't materialize. Now we're starting to kind of get back. We're renegotiating some of those contracts, even one with you, Behavioral Health, again. So when you go through challenging budget times, and I've been through, 30 of them?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, after a while, you know, you can only hear the sky is falling so many times. The sky doesn't fall. We're still going to be here. Maybe we need to refocus or redirect or kind of reorganize. But there is going to always be needs for the services that both our office and your office provide to the community. And it's the way you deliver them and how you deliver them to get the most bang for your buck is really telling about whether or not you're going to be successful or not.
337-8874 is the phone number if you've got questions or comments or reminiscences or stuff that Jim probably doesn't want you to mention. Tell us about job development. I mean, as somebody who came to this community 20-some-odd years ago now, job development to me was always an amazing challenge for a community that was pretty much based on farm work.
Yes.
And having the highest unemployment. afraid and
right.
How has it been to have that on your lap?
Well, you know, lately you've probably heard that we've made the nationwide news on the highest unemployment rate in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have a flood of federal dollars coming in now to help us.
Well, I think the Office of Employment Training is getting some additional dollars.
I think they are, but
the ERA money and so forth. But these things kind of go in waves, and the thing about grant money and so forth is it's time limited. So it's nice for a while, and maybe it'll help you. But if you don't plan for the day that grant ends, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that have been relying on certain resources. All of a sudden, they're going to have the rug pulled out from under them because it's no longer there. But back to your question, Scott, yes, we've always relied on agriculture in this community. It's our lifeblood, granted. But at the same time, we need to develop and educate our population. So one of the things that we see oftentimes with our population is, one, they don't have a high school education. Two, they have language barriers. So if you can start meeting those basic needs of having your population be able to continue their education, get their GED or equivalent, learn English, and then start being competitive. A couple of years ago, you know, when the new mall came in, we had a huge success in getting many of our clients placed in retail jobs there. That's something new for us because that's not always been a huge industry for Imperial County. So that's been really helpful to not only to the economy, but in providing resources for us to develop and work with our partners in getting our clients competitive in that market.
It kind of opened up a whole new field for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
It really did. And that doesn't mean that the other issues that families face every day, substance abuse and domestic violence, those don't necessarily go away. That's why it's so important to have our really great partnerships with our organizations around the county to help work with those issues while these people are getting trained and getting prepared for the job market.
But that's what you're doing, like in CalWORKs. I mean, that's why CalWORKs
came
about.
That's what CalWORKs is, yes.
That's what CalWORKs came about because of trying to get people who are getting aid. Where it was called I forgot the name that was originally called
AFTC.
AFTC.
Yeah.
Before that's what we called it, and now it's.
You know, when I became director in 1985, and I mentioned when I started, it was Imperial County Welfare Department. It really had a bad connotation. People said, "Oh, you're going to the welfare department. You know, you're going to handout house and all of that." And I thought it was really important to really work on
some stigma there, huh?
Yeah. On changing the dynamics of what we were there to try to help. It wasn't just welfare. It was a whole myriad of services trying to get people to become self-sufficient. And that's why about 87 or 88, I went to the board and said, you know, I really want to change our name to social services. I mean, this is what we do. We don't just do food stamps. Mm-hmm. We just don't do Medi-Cal. We're a lot more than that. We're out here to try to help people be able to manage on their own. And, you know, when welfare reform came in 96, signed into law in August of 96 under President Clinton, that was going to be a whole new change in the way we do business. And then California developed its plan. We implemented CalWORKs in January of 1998. Really gave us an opportunity to do a lot more in the arena of getting people to become self-sufficient. We only had really token involvement with the employment department and getting people into jobs before then. After that, we established our partnerships. We started really being successful. In the early 90s, we had well over 8,000 AFDC cases at the time. Right now, we have a little over 4,000 CalWORKs cases, and our population has grown. So it's been successful, despite what you hear about, well, California isn't doing so well and blah, blah, blah. We're doing okay. Mm-hmm. We've cut welfare caseloads in half. And the reason, I think, is obvious, is that we're putting emphasis on getting people trained into jobs and getting them off assistance.
Well, I thought the reason was we got a local guy in our corner that's willing to dedicate a whole bunch of time and effort to work. Hey, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to have to take a short break. This is Let's Talk About It. We'll be right back with Jim Sims.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County Behavioral Health Service Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXLRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's talk about it. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying this show or you're thinking, geez, I wish Cousin Ed was here to listen to this. This is pretty cool stuff. We're going to be immortalized. You know, this slides over to the KXO website, and you go through a couple of here and there's, and you get to the podcast section.
Yeah, you just go to kxoradio.com and click. It's on your right-hand side, screen down, and it's on your right-hand side, and you can click on podcast. So and this radio show will be
if
there.
Listening assistants, there it is, and you can send it to all the relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It'll be up in a couple weeks, no worries. Welcome back. Our guest today is Jim Sims, and he's the director of Department of Social Services, the artist formerly known as The Symbol, as it turns out. You were instrumental in making that change to Department of Social Services.
Yes.
Was that progressive at that time, or had it already begun to shift a little? Because welfare was, you know, turned into a dirty word at some point.
Yes.
Maybe rightfully so.
I've gone through a lot of Board of Supervisors in that many years since 1985. Probably well in the high 20s or close to 30 Boards of Supervisors. And there was some resistance to changing our name. But I think I made a good case for it. For one thing, most of the agencies throughout California had gone to the social service or the health and human services name for their organizations, depending on if they also had health under their jurisdiction or not. And so I tried to present to them, I know changing a name doesn't necessarily change a department. But it's a start in changing attitude. I thought it was important that our organization be looked at as a resource for the entire county for a lot of different things. Many people don't realize it, but for example, in the child protective service arena, that's not just confined to poor people. That's not just confined to people who get food stamps. Mm-hmm. I had many cases of very wealthy individuals and families who needed child protective service intervention, doctors. Mm-hmm. So it's something that reached out to everyone in the community, not just the impoverished. So I thought it was really important that the county and the people that we serve recognize that we really reach out to everyone. Because we never know when our families are going to be struck by divorce, separation, substance abuse, mental health issues, elderly needing assistance. Everyone has parents that age and need help. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all needs that we all face as human beings. And how we provide those services is important because people are people. They're not just numbers. And so if you can provide better service and you can eliminate that stigma associated with going to the welfare department, that's the first step. If you're going to help people, you know, the first step is them asking for help.
And I know several people that they then sometimes even say, and they say it, you know what, I was formerly a welfare mom, and now they're working in our system, either through human and health services, you know, they're either, you know, behavioral health, mental health, but they're in the service trying to help other people. You know, they overcame that. They were able to go be self-sufficient, raise their kids, go back to school, get a job, and now they're helping others. And it's just, you know, I can see like just a cycle, you know, you get them, you help, somebody helps them. They need help, you know, they need the assistance and for them to be self-sufficient.
It's amazing, Maria, kind of along this line of what you're talking about, we've had many clients come in to whatever service they were asking for assistance and telling the caseworker, you just don't understand the issues that I'm facing.
Mm.
And how often our caseworker has actually been there themselves. Because I think people who have experienced some of the issues that we deal with and break through and are able to really develop themselves and improve their family situations can really tell the people that they're providing service to, this is not an impossible task. You can do it. I did it. You know, I went through a lot of these things that you're facing now. These are some of the resources that I took advantage of. They're out there for you. If you take advantage and if you take the first step, that's the first step towards being able to be on your own and taking care of your family and doing okay.
All right. Another thing, one question is, yeah, I know you've gone through so many budgets, you know, and for many of us,
he dreams in Excel now.
Well, for many of us.
Lotus 1, 2, 3.
I remember Lotus. I did Lotus. I did even DBase 3, you know. but, you know, Dave, you've gone through so many budgets, and for many of us, it, including myself, this is the first time that, you know, it looks the budgets, you know, just trying to cut down on expenses, cutting down, you know, trying to provide the same services with less money. Mm-hmm. What can you say to people, you know, what it's, you said that sky's not falling, but for many of us, it's the first time we've gone around. People have been, oh, we've gone through this, you know, pink slicks were given out, you know, a couple of years back. And
well, I think really, you know, when you do a budget, you plan for what you basically need to continue your operation, not Cadillac, not spend every dollar that you get. One of the things our organization really has never done is spend every dollar we get from the state and federal government. If we did that when times get really tough, you would have to lay off people. You would have to cut the services that you're providing. In my tenure as director, I've never laid off one person.
Wow.
There's like a whole bunch of people knocking on right now.
Yeah, and that's true. You never take anything for granted. And last year when they said they were going to eliminate the CalWORKS program, eliminate in-home services program, wow, that's a lot of people that we have in our organization. You know what? That's why I cut our contracts, because that was our little cushion in terms of, yes, we want to do this, but if we can't, we can't. And so that gave us the ability to not lay off any staff. And at the same time, I think because we provide so many different services, we have the ability to move staff around. Mm-hmm. So if a particular program is getting some cuts or restrictions, rather than lay off those individuals, for example, an eligibility worker working CalWORKS, if that program gets reduced, I can move them to Medi-Cal, or I can move them to food stamps. If a social worker in CalWORKS Welfare to Work, if that program is getting cut, I can move them to adult services or children's services. There's depth. A social worker is a social worker. Yes, you need retraining, but you can adapt. So I think that gives us the flexibility to kind of get through these ups and downs that we're seeing really drastically these last few years in terms of the budget. And I hope we can do the same again this year. The governor is proposing the same cuts that he proposed last year.
Mm-hmm. That's where I was going. You know, how does it look for next year?
He is to me, when I heard his budget speech and looked at some of the analysis, most of the stuff that he's proposing in the Health and Human Services is what he proposed last year, and it didn't happen. I think the legislature and the governor have been at loggerheads, really, in dealing with ways to cut the budget deficit. And obviously they have to do something, and things have to be changed. It doesn't mean that our programs can't be reformed and improved. But when you say, well, just eliminate a program, you know, that's really ignoring a real issue that affects everyone in the community. Because if people all of a sudden have no resources, they become desperate, and unemployment rate skyrockets, the deficit continues. So, you know, you really need to be able to plan for that. I always talk about welfare reform back in 98 when we had huge caseloads and everyone thought, you know, it was just a, like I said, handout house before that. We cut our caseloads, we improved the program, and we cut costs. So why can't that be done for other programs? rather than wholesale elimination, let's make it leaner, better, directed at where we need to do what we need to do, and the things that we can't do anymore that would be nice to do, let's just cut back up on those areas until better fiscal times. And I think with that kind of mentality, you can get through some of these desperate budgets that we see every year.
Well, it's almost like each of your programs, each of any human health and human service program, has kind of like two sizes of footprints. One is the actual cost, which is what gets thrown around as the, hey, we can save this much money. I think the other is how many other costs it may prevent in terms of managing a population need, a community need, that's not going to go away just because you eliminate the program.
What would happen if, you know, just imagine if the Department of Social Service wasn't here? Just
well, people don't realize that we're a $100 million plus industry in Imperial County. That's how much revenue, state and federal revenue, is coming into the county to do the services that we need to do in the community. So that has a tremendous economic impact on the community as well. And so when those programs get diminished, then those needs are going to be felt even worse in the community.
337-8874 is the phone number. Our guest today is Jim Sims, Director of Social Services for the County of Imperial. Let's see, so 1985, and it's like 20, almost 25 years as director.
Right, yeah. And you mentioned Mike Horn and Mike Kelly. We had a really... and we still do have a really good working relationship. I think we both go back to about the same time, went to IDC, you know, and so forth. And we've seen our departments grow, Mike, with probation for so many years. I think what makes us work is, one, we're friends. Two, we trust each other. We're never doing backstabbing stuff. Mm-hmm. If someone's hurting, you try to figure out ways that you can assist them and vice versa. Nice thing about small communities, that's the core. That's what makes it work. You go to these huge, large metropolitan areas.
They don't know each other.
People don't know anyone, and even in their own organization, let alone other organizations. You know, directors don't talk to other directors. You know, I talk to Mike Horn all the time, and all the department heads that touch on health and human services, if you don't talk to each other, you're working in a vacuum, and you're not really providing the best service in the community.
Well, but that being said, every time they threaten to cut DSS budgets, do you go on the website and see if it's open in Napa, and you can just go up to like a small but rich county and kind of ride y'all up into the sunset?
You know,
talk about Napa.
I'm committed here. You know, it's hard to believe, but before I moved to the Valley, I came here from Canada. My dad was a career military officer, so I traveled around all growing up and lived all over the world. I graduated high school in Argentia, Newfoundland, and then my dad got the commanding officer at the Navy base here in El Centro. So I came here just having graduated from
high school. Had the Great White North queued up to play on the breaks if we can.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mario?
Yeah. So, just working here and seeing what's been done, I think, positively over the years has really made me want to stay and do what I do. I like what I do. When you can see positive results of your efforts, and you can see the people that work for you really putting everything they have into making their job not just rewarding, but having an impact on the people they serve, that makes it worthwhile.
And I agree. I mean, I'm here. I mean, I came, it's so different, you know, when I got out of college, got out of high school, went to college, then never come back. But, you know, there's something about Imperial County. It just brought me back, and, you know, I'm here to stay, and I want to help this community. You see the need, and sometimes some families are in distress, you know, just they need help, and I want to help them. And if that means, you know, my mental health rehab techs, they go to probation, they go to the Department of Social Services, get them to link them to those services, and get that family back on track.
Yeah.
It's rewarding.
So what kind of stuff has really emerged today into your department that you might not have expected or that really seems to be promising?
What's going to be
your
legacy?
Other than surviving, let's talk about surviving the budget
stickiness
and talk about some of your plums, some of your stuff that you really got going.
Something that can be, when you leave, your legacy.
When I took over as director, 90% of our social workers didn't have a college degree. Now probably 95% of them have a college degree. We have social workers now with master's degree, and we have 5 social workers in the Master of Social Work program. We support that program with San Diego State, mm-hmm. and then really pushing to continue to develop the academic and the MSW programs locally, so our social workers don't have to leave the county and can actually get their education here and then move up the career ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen a professionalization, I think, of some of our social service staff. I think that's important. I think you provide better service when you have a knowledge base that's more all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
of a parallel process, too, because you've made this commitment to the community that education is going to be a big part of jobs, and you've done the same thing inside your department.
Okay.
It's really important, and I think career ladder, I think, is... I'm an example of career ladder. I started as a social worker one, and anyone can work their way up and become director or get into management. And we've seen a lot of our management staff started out as line workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really kind of a neat way to learn the organization and do the best job you can is grow your own.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're trying to attract someone from out of county to come here and take a particular job,
they just see
the salary and where is it, and maybe I'll try that. But if you have someone who's working in the organization and they're improving their education, and they actually have a knowledge of what you're doing and what you're about in the community you serve, mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot better results, I think.
What's the Newfoundland expression, in for penny, in for pound? Something like that, huh?
Very good. Canadian, yeah. But, other things, you know, as I said, I'm a firm believer in trying to provide services in the community. I'd still like to see us work on our North End Brawley, have a site in Brawley that would be full service, so those people don't have to travel the 15 miles down here to El Centro or the Island, people that have to travel 30, 40 miles to get down here, to be able to have those services up in that end, and we're working on that as well. So those kinds of things, I think, you know, technology has come so far. We were all paper back in the earthquake days, and we were moving all the paper files out to the fairgrounds and sorting through them, you know, by hand. Now we have this elaborate imaging system. Everything's going to be electronic. And it's not that electronics are perfect. You know, we all get frustrated with computers and so forth. But they do make a difference in being able to
track,
handle and manage your work. Especially as the number of cases and so forth that you service continue to grow. And so there's a real importance in being able to have access to that information. So technology, I think the environment that people work in says a lot about the organization. Mm-hmm. If they're working in really kind of deplorable circumstances, and we've worked in deplorable mm-hmm. circumstances over the years, if you have a good place to work, good equipment, mm-hmm. you know, good management, a good management team, and a commitment to what you're doing, that makes the environment really a nicer place to work, and I think you do a better job. So it's a lot of different things. There's no one key to making this whole thing work together, but it's a lot of different things, and a really good staff that's committed to doing what they're doing.
337-8874 is the phone number. Now, you told all your staff to listen, right?
No.
look down the ladder from the top of the list. Look down from the top of the ladder. Everybody's faces are looking up, and they're all dialed into the radio, right?
Somebody told somebody.
Somebody told somebody, yeah.
They're right there.
Well, how do you see the valley evolving? I mean,
there's a tremendous opportunity. I think we're... You know, if you looked at a mountain range, you know, yeah, we're right at the, mm-hmm. the base climbing the mountain. But we've got a wonderful environment here for development of alternative energy.
Yeah, we could get a giant solar panel.
You know, why don't we put solar panels on all the roofs of county buildings, you know, or why don't we put in covered parking and put solar panels on them too?
Because they melt in the heat.
Well, they're making really great strides in solar panel development. And wind energy, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities. Yeah. And so I think those are the things that will be the future of our county. And if we invest in those early, not just the jobs that are created.
Oh, that would be
but,
great.
But green energy and being actually the beacon for the rest of the state, saying, look, what that's what happened when they started irrigating the valley, you know. How can you irrigate a desert and feed the world? That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what put Imperial Valley on the map, you know. But that's still going to be there, but I think we need to look beyond that and say, okay, what else can Imperial Valley be the beacon for?
So really some almost quantum changes, because we went from desert to farmland, which is not a gradual change. It's a leap.
Yes.
And now you think maybe that leap could be in terms of alternative energy,
that
which
would
makes
be great.
A lot of sense.
That would be great, and that would bring in so many jobs.
I think it would bring in jobs. It would bring in a lot of good jobs that people that typically they go to school here, and unless there's a certain field they're interested in, agriculture or government or whatever, they leave.
Well, I can speak to this because I grew up in the Midwest in the Rust Belt, and when I was a kid, basically half the people in school with me wanted to work at General Motors at Fisher Body.
Right.
Because the Fisher Body, we had to walk by the Fisher Body plant to get to school. And that was a nice, secure place for people to have nice middle-class livings with their educational backgrounds, and it was something people could aspire to.
But, you know, Scott was a maverick.
No, you had to have relatives working there, just like anything else in the world, I suppose.
Yeah.
But we could have that same type of if we had that opportunity in our community, we could have that same kind of natural pathway, because you could walk by the solar plant and say, oh, look, there's a place where I can work. You know, there's not that much uncertainty about what I can do. I can go to school and make this commitment. When I get out, there's something for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And one I didn't mention was geothermal, and that's happening.
Oh, yeah,
that's
you.
And growing, and those are good jobs,
those
too.
Those are good jobs.
So the more of those kinds of job development we can invest in, I think in the long term it's going to really make our county more self-sufficient, because we can't constantly rely on federal and state governments to take care of all of our needs. You need to look for some alternative ways to keep yourself going. Sustainability. One of the things I talk about with organizations I meet with, people that rely on grants a lot, is what are you going to do when the grants end?
Exactly. Yeah. What is
how are you going to make this thing continue? If it's such a great idea and the money goes away and then the program goes away, you're not doing what you need to do. That's a opportunity to buy some time to figure out how you're going to keep this going. We did it with the family resource centers, you know, to keep them going even after grants go away. So I think that's what we need to do as a county, is how can we invest in ourselves so all of a sudden we can provide that kind of economic stimulus locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are coming here, they're getting their education, they're staying here, they're reinvesting, and all of a sudden we're doing pretty good.
What do you think? I think Mr. Simmons needs to stay longer.
I'm going to offer to be his campaign manager.
Yeah. Well, you can tell. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah. And that's where the department is where it's at, because, you know, that's one of the things, you know, as a leader, you have to be innovative. And you've been innovative in being move the department where it's
one thing at. I learned as a manager a long time ago, I remember going to some management class, and they said, you have to be willing to take risk. You know, it's easy to do status quo, and it's always a little more difficult to go out there and say, this is what I want to do. Maybe it'll succeed, maybe it won't. But if you don't try, it's not going to happen.
No, that's very, very true. And you know, the other thing I would say about Mr. Sims is, you know, everybody's got kind of a balance to who they are as a person, but I've never heard anyone say anything about you having a bad bone in your body.
Oh,
and that's pretty remarkable, considering that even if we're trying to do our best, sometimes we bruise feelings and step on toes. I think it's really a tribute to you and your integrity that you've managed to walk through all of this stuff. And there are no scarred people behind you saying, geez, Jim, thanks.
Well, you know, It doesn't mean that in an organization, especially as large as ours, you don't have personnel issues. I mean, every organization has those issues. But I think if you just treat people fairly, you tell them where you're coming from, your concerns or whatever, what your expectations are, and you're just trying to be fair, that goes a long way. And don't have any hidden agendas. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're working with organizations, don't backstab them. Mm-hmm. It'll come back and bite you. You know, just be upfront. And I think that'll go a long way. It's not a perfect world. We all have flaws. I'm not perfect. We all have things that, you know, we can do better. But I think if your basic philosophy is just try to do the best you can, be fair with people, and smile at them, you know, be a good person as much as you can, because that's the way you want to be treated.
So that means that when you retire, you're going to stay here in the Valley, or are you going
to... You know, my wife and I talk about this periodically. She would love to travel, because she's never been really out of the country very much, and she'd like to go to Italy. And I think all those things sound really nice, mm-hmm. and I'd like to do that too. But you can't do that 365 days a year. I guess you can, but it'd take a lot of money to do that.
At some point, you're not a tourist. You're a nomad.
Yeah. But you know what? I think when it comes down to it, as long as you're healthy and you got the energy and so forth, if you can contribute something, I think that's what keeps you young and keeps you going. And it doesn't mean that you don't want to have some recreation, get away from it a while. I certainly do every so. Everyone has things that they like to do outside of work to kind of just break away from the everyday. But the core part of your person has really been your career and your family life. So, you know, if you've invested that much, you invest a lot in your marriage and your family. Mm-hmm. So if you invest a lot in your career, you have an investment, and you don't want to just necessarily cash out.
So there's still going to be some type of deposit here.
Yeah, I think if I can give something, and if I can be part of this challenge that we're going to be facing mm-hmm. over these next couple of years, you know, I'm there.
Good.
And we're glad you're there.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're going to stay a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It's been fun having you aboard today. This has been a good show. I'm touched. I'm going to work a lot harder today.
I know.
I'm inspired.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here with us. And just having the community have a chance to know you. I mean, it's just... You're in charge of a department that is, I think it's the biggest one here in the county.
We should call this a peek beneath the hood.
I know. And how really what Department of Social Service is about and what kind of services they have. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that this radio is, the purpose is to, you know, inform the community.
You do a good job.
We're trying. We're trying. It's kind of...
Yeah, it's all Mario on the board. All right, Jim. Thanks a lot for coming aboard. And again, for people who listen today and want to share this, it's going to be on the KXL website, and, you know, maybe for as long as it's a KXL. Who knows?
You have to just type KXL Radio, and it'll be right there. So, thank you so much.
It's available at you're saying it's available at the El Centro Public Library. That's a good plug for the library, which is
right across the street from us.
A great place to go and get books too.
Yes.
So our shows are also available at the El Centro Library, which I didn't know that. So. Go check out Jim Sims, say you heard about it, and let's talk about it, and we'll give you a free moment of gratitude. How's that?
Yes.
Thanks for coming aboard today, and join us again next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, and brought to you as a podcast by KXLRadio.com.